Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God. Yes, we need you, God, to order our steps, Lord God. God, we desire to be in your will. So, God, we take this time and just thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, for being God in our lives. Thank you, God, for just loving us. Even when we are not lovable, you love us still. God, thank you for forgiving us. Because we do fall short of your glory, but thank you, God, for forgiveness and forgiving us. God, as you forgive us, help us to forgive others and let it go, that we may move on in your will and move on in your way. God, we just thank you, God, because you are the God of deliverance. You are the God of comfort. You are the God of healing, the God of wisdom. So we thank you, God, that you breathe all those things down on us right now. So God, if there be anything in me, God, take it away right now in the name of Jesus if it's not like you. Father God, whatever word you give me for the people this day, God, I will stand boldly and declare your word. Because God, I want to be in your will. So Holy Spirit, sweep through here and through this building now. And meet the needs of your people as only you can. God, you can see the hearts of the people and you know what's going on in their lives. Meet them right now in the name of Jesus where they need, whatever their needs may be. Now, Holy Spirit, have your way this day in this place. Let your anointing, your power, your glory, your presence be in this entire block. That they know that there is a living God. So we lift this prayer up to you. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, let the church say amen. Amen. Let the church say amen again. Amen. And let the church say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. First Sunday again, you all. First Sunday. And God has a word for us. God has a word. God has a word. So if you would get your Bibles and go to the Gospel according to Luke. We're going to Luke this morning. We're studying Luke in Bible study, chapter by chapter, listening for a word of empowerment from God. So when you have Luke, go to chapter 15. When you have the Gospel of St. Luke, go to chapter 15. We're going to a familiar passage. I believe last week it was John 15. But God has taken us to the 15th chapter of Luke this morning. And when you have found it, please stand in reverence to this holy word of God. The 15th chapter of Luke in the New Testament on First Sunday. And when you arrive at the 15th chapter, would you just stroll down to the verse 11? A familiar passage of scripture, familiar to many. But God could take what is familiar and do something new with it. So this morning, I will be reading from the NIV Bible. And I don't have my Bible that has the red writing, but this is a parable that Jesus is teaching. And he's telling the people. So it reads this way in the 15th chapter of Luke, starting with verse 11. Jesus continued. Jesus is telling us something. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. Jesus went on to say, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Then Jesus tells us he came to his senses. Obviously, he had lost his mind, you all. So he came to his senses. When he came to his senses, ever been there? He said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men. So that boy, he got up and he went back to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. The Bible says he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. The son stayed true to his word. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a party, y'all. Let's feast and let's celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and alive again. He was lost and he is found. So they began to celebrate. You may be seated. They began to celebrate. We pray that God can take this familiar passage and speak to the hearts of his people. I just believe that God gives a message each week for someone that's going to be present. I seek God's wisdom. I seek God's face in preparation time, that the word will always be relevant for our church. For our church, because God knows who will be present. So the message and the title that he gave this morning for us is Lost But Found. Lost But Found. So this is our 11th Communion Sunday of 2015. Amen. The year is quickly coming to an end, and we certainly thank God for our journey. So this Sunday, on Communion Sunday, we're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus because our hope, our faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. See, I heard the voices sing this morning that the blood still works. See, that's good news for believers. I say for believers, see, the blood still works. See, this Communion Sunday, as believers in Abundant Life Christian Ministries, we will declare, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Come on, people of God. All other ground, you know you've tried other grounds. All other ground is sinking sand. Come on, people of God. Let the church say amen. You've tried to do it this way. And you've tried to do it that way. But we're declaring and decreeing in this place this morning, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Therefore, God our Father, who is in heaven, I just believe this morning he has an empowering word for us. See, God is saying to my spirit this morning, I sent this word to the church because someone needs to be delivered today. Someone is holding on to something, and this word is the word of deliverance. See, I just believe, my God, that something will be said in this word, that someone will be delivered and someone will be empowered. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord Jesus. See, God, Jesus took this word and he took it and he took a parable to teach. See, a parable is just an ordinary story, you all. And he's telling them an ordinary story to empower them, to enlighten them. See, we say we do life application in this church. See, Jesus was using life application here. He's taking a life situation to empower the people with spiritual meaning. Life application. Come on, people of God. So let's see what God has for us this morning. As we go to this text in Luke, we know that Luke wrote it, and we know that Luke was a physician. We've heard it all before. But Luke was not one of the 12. He was not one that walked and talked with Jesus. See, Luke wrote under the power of the Holy Spirit, because we just believe this word is relevant, because the Bible says all scripture is inspired by God and it's profitable. It's good for us to give us instruction so that we can get in the will of God. So we're going to this word and we're trusting this word, that this word would help equip the saints for service. It said that Luke's gospel is unique because Luke takes the time to tell about the birth of Jesus. He goes over and talks about the ministry. He talks about the death. He talks about the resurrection. And Luke has said, he's one of the writers, it said that he talked a lot about women in ministry and what they were doing for the Lord, our Lord and Savior. So the beginning of chapter 15, Luke wrote that Jesus was speaking to tax collectors. He was speaking to sinners. And you know, the Pharisees didn't like that. They were complaining, who is this man talking to these sinners? So he spoke a parable to them because they were all over Jesus. You know, why are you hanging out with those sinners? But Jesus said that. Jesus said this to them. Jesus said this. He came up with another parable about a lost sheep. Mm-hmm. He told them there was a man that had 100 sheep. Mm-hmm. And that one of them was lost. Mm-hmm. Then Jesus said, when the man found his one sheep, how much joy he said. How much joy he had when he found that one sheep. See, Jesus, he's concerned about just one. But he went on to say that it will be more joy. This is the word. It will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous. See, that's the word of God. I didn't make that up. And Jesus continues to tell them, let me just tell you another life application situation. Mm-hmm. There was a woman with 10 coins, and she lost one. And the Bible says she searched and she searched until she found that one. It was a point that Jesus was giving them. And when she found it, she got on the phone and she told everyone, I found my lost coin. And Jesus said, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. See, sometimes we want crowds to flow in. But what did Jesus say? This is Jesus saying, there is joy in the presence of angels over one. God wants us all to be saved. So he may just do it one at a time. But Jesus continued on to give them life application information. And it brings us to our morning scripture called the prodigal son, or the lost son. The lost son. You all know the story. You all know the story. Let's see what God is going to say to us this morning about it. It opens with the younger son saying, Daddy, give me my stuff. I'm just kind of tired of your rules up in this house. Give me my stuff. Come on, let's make it real. See, I know that I have an inheritance. God, give me my stuff because I want out of here. That's what Jesus is trying to get over to us. And the Bible says he was entitled to one third. But usually you got your stuff when your father died. You didn't get the inheritance until the parent would pass away. But in this case, they say the father allowed him to have his inheritance. The father granted his request. I would say it illustrates how God permits us sometimes to go on our way. We think we just have to have this, and we must have that right now. And God just steps back, okay, you go. I'm here, but you just go on and, yeah, you must have her. Mm-hmm. You must have that big house. He allows it. Mm-hmm. I gotta have this car. He allows it. But he's there watching. But I can imagine that the father, as he allowed his son to go off into a far country, made up his mind that I'll be here. And soon after, yes, he got his stuff. And he followed the story. He journeyed off to a far country. They said that he was living kind of wild. Come on, you all. He was doing his thing. What's the new phrase? He's not doing your thing anymore? He turned up. But when all, he know, yeah, I've heard about that. But when all the money was gone, so was the friends. All the people. Somebody said he got turned down then. All the people that he was getting it on with, can I say that? They all disappeared. But see, God and his father had given him free will. Y'all know anything about free will? Amen. And his decisions were made based on selfishness. See, he had this desire now. He didn't know what was in the future. He wanted to be separated from the rules of the household. The father was just too rigid for him. But now his money is gone. Tried to solve his own problem. So he went out and he hired himself out to someone in that country. Then he found himself with the pigs. Come on now. Hungry, but they wouldn't let him eat what the pigs were eating. So he had nothing to eat. Somebody called it, they say broke, busted. Come on. Y'all know about disgusted. Oh, yes. He's in a tight place now. So he's looking, I'm hungry, I'm homeless. And he began to think about it. The Bible says he came to his senses. See, obviously he had lost his mind when he went to his daddy. But he came to his senses. He said, I'm going back to my daddy's house. In my daddy's house is love. In my daddy's house is comfort. In my daddy's house is peace. And yeah, I'm hungry too. In my daddy's house is food. I'm going back to my daddy's house. The Bible says he had an awakening. I'm going back to my daddy. See, I don't have to live like this. My clothes are dirty. I'm smelling like pigs. I'm going back to my daddy's house. Hallelujah. And he said, when I get there, I'm going to tell my daddy. Daddy, I've sinned against heaven. Daddy, I've sinned against you. God, yeah, we need to talk to God about that. God, I've sinned against you. I'm coming back to you. He said, Father, make me a hired servant. But the Bible says that the Father loved him unconditionally. So he didn't even talk about that stuff. He just hugged his son. Yeah, his son had strayed away, but he didn't stay away. The son didn't expect anything but a job. But it says, the Father gave him a robe. Gave him a ring. And he said, we're going to celebrate this, son, because my son was lost. But now he's found. So how many of us, come on, let's talk about us for a minute. Let's apply this thing to our lives. How many of us at some point have behaved similar to this young man? Let's get with it. We prayed and asked God for something. Our Father who art in heaven, give me that woman. Our Father who art in heaven, give me that job. Our Father who art in heaven, give me my business. We prayed it and God allowed that. But when we got all that stuff we prayed for, we moved away from God in a distant land, in a foreign country. You didn't have time for Bible study. You didn't have time to pray. You didn't have time to come to church consistently. But you say, God understands. Away in a foreign place. And God is saying this morning, you don't only have to move away physically. God said, in your mind, have you moved away from me? What are you putting in your mind, people of God? That mind can take you to a distant place from your God. What's in your mind? What are you reading? But God is watching. He still loves us. But that mind, that imagination has just run away with you. A distant place from God. Living in your past. Focusing on what used to be. A distant place from God. God is saying this morning, renew your mind, people of God. Renew your mind with be not conformed to this world. You're sliding away in your mind. Be not conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll know what the will of God is for your life. Come on, Holy Spirit. What has separated you from your heavenly Father? What are you doing that it's taking you to a distant place? See, this is a personal question. Life is so tight sometimes, we try to solve things ourselves. And we find ourselves in a far country, in toxic relationships, in far places. Solving your problems with drug and alcohol in a far place. focusing on your flesh and not your spirit. Five places because of bad choices. Five places because of your family history. Four places because of the curse that you believe that's on your family. It's always been this way, God. In a far place, far from you, God. But see, the good news is that we can be like that young boy. We can go back to the Father. See, like he remembered, I need to be at peace. I need some joy in my soul. I'm going back to my Father's house. I'm going back to the one that created me. I'm going back to the one that loved me. I'm just going back to God. I heard somebody say that our God sent Jesus for me, that I may have life and have it more abundantly. Yeah, I'm going back because I want this abundant life. I'm going back to the Father's house. See, this is important and relevant that the Father did not chase after that son. He didn't go searching for his son. He knew that son may be in trouble. But he didn't go anywhere looking for him. But when the boy came back, he was right there waiting with open arms. Come on, like our Heavenly Father. He allowed him to move on in free will. But he was right there. So somebody needs to know that today. Whatever you've done to separate yourself from God, God is waiting on you with open arms. I don't know who that's for, but God is waiting on you with open arms. The Bible said when he was still afar, the father went running to his son, showed him love, showed him compassion, you all. Our God is like that. He loves us unconditionally. I don't know why God gave me this message this morning. But God is saying you don't have to wallow with the pigs any longer. You don't have to lay down with them any longer. I'm just waiting on you. I'm just waiting on you. The father didn't scold the boy. He didn't say, I told you so. He didn't say, I knew you were going to fail. The father simply welcomed him back. See, I don't know your story, and I don't know what you're going through, but God is saying to someone this morning, come back to me. Come back to me because I love you. See, too often we put things in front of us in God or in between. When God is saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's what the Bible says. And the stuff you think you need will be provided to you. What's between you and your God this morning? You don't have to tell me, but begin to search your heart because God said, this day I'm going to deliver you. What is between you and your God? We all know we're looking real good this morning, but what is really between you and your God? Search your heart. See, this situation here in Abundant Life, we said put the mirror in your face. Don't look to your right or your left because God is equipping you for service. What's really causing you not to spend as much time with God? Not picking up the Bible daily and reading. Not praying and seeking God's will. What is it? Too often we say, yeah, God knows we're busy. Yeah, God knows you're out of order. But he's just waiting on you. Come on. I know. But see, the Spirit of God says those things. It's not me. It's all about God. And it's all about your spiritual growth. The good news for us today, no matter how far you travel, that's good news. From your God, he's waiting with open arms. Somebody once again needs to hear that. Somebody needs to hear that. No matter how far you go out there, how crazy and how foolish you get, God is waiting on you. Oh, yes, he is. Because there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. People are going to get that in your heart. Nothing. Nothing. Paul put it this way. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither present or the future, nor any powers, nor anything can separate you from the love of God. Don't let people tell you that you've sinned so much that you don't belong in the church. The word says nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Don't let people play with your mind. That's not what the word of God says. Nothing. Somebody must be encouraged this morning. Someone needs to hear that. That's what the Spirit of God is saying. Someone needs to be delivered from their stuff and their past this morning. Nothing. You can't go too far. You can't go too far where you can't come back and be in the will of God. Because somebody needs to know that. Somebody needs to know that. God knew we would go away sometimes. And the Bible says, do not love this world, because we go chasing stuff in this world. If anybody loves the world, what does the word say? The Father, the love of the Father is not in them. That's God's word for you. I didn't make this up, but I'm going to bring this to the close. How is your relationship with God this morning? Is there anything that you need to just strip away to get a little closer? What is it? Is it your past experience, some man, some woman, some drug, some alcohol? What is it? Are you so attracted to these TV shows that you're up late at night watching TV, no time to read and study his word? What is it? What is it that has caused you to put a distance between you and your God? The good news is God is waiting on you. The Heavenly Father is waiting on you to say yes. I'm back home, Daddy. I'm back home, Daddy, in your will. Daddy, I'm back home where I know there's peace and where there's joy. Daddy, I'm on my way back. If you haven't gotten there yet, Daddy, I'm on my way back home. Yeah, Daddy, here I come. I humble myself. I messed up. Forgive me, Father. But I need you. Father, I need more of you. Is anybody here this morning need to say, I need you, Jesus? It's grace that he has for us. It's his grace and his love he has for us. I heard somebody say, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a sinner, a wretch like me. They went on to say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Come on, let's get with this word, believers of God. Because of his grace, you can come on back home. And that's why amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. Any witness this morning? Any witnesses in the place? Amazing.